Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight and will give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord. May the Lord bless you. And I want to thank everyone that's prayed for Sharon. She's definitely a lot better than what she was. And the food poison's a nasty old thing. I was telling Brother Mark on the way in 2005 when I was in Zimbabwe and Harare. The people got food poison, the whole church. A lot of people that come for prayer, and what had happened, the electric went off and the meat wasn't froze, you know, unfroze with the heat there as well. And they still eat it, and a lot of people get food poisoning, but the Lord touched them. And we just thank the Lord. And even sometimes when we do things, I'm not saying food poisoning is anybody's fault, but sometimes things can happen. God can still heal you. That's what I'm trying to say. Praise God. The Lord bless you tonight. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15:45. And I want to just briefly, I suppose you could, this is eternal security. I've been thinking about it for weeks, but I want to talk about the two atoms. And this song here tonight, this last song, really confirmed some of the things I've done out in my notes. We're hoping for the coming of the Lord, but we're not hoping for eternal life. That's a difference. We're not hoping for it. We have it. There's a difference. 1 Corinthians 15:45. God bless each one. Praise God. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Let's bow our heads tonight, and if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. I will pray for you. And God bless you, God bless you. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight in the name that you've set far above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we humbly approach you tonight. We ask that you'll wash us, cleanse us afresh, the precious blood of the Lamb, and that you'll wash us by the washing of the water of the Word, and sanctify us, and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. I do take the Holy Ghost right now by faith, and I thank you that you do undertake for me. I come against every work of the devil, in every life and family in this house. And I pray that his goods be spoiled and brought to naught. And I pray your blessing over each one and your strength over each one. And acclaim every son, every daughter, every husband, every wife, relations, relatives, that every one of them will be saved and be there on that day. Father, for the hands is raised that you will meet every single need, spiritually and physically, in Jesus Christ's name. Because your word says, beloved, and we shall above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul does prosper. Pray for my own wee mum tonight. You'll touch her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. I pray for my sister Andrea. You'll touch her and strengthen her and take this cold off her chest. Make her well. And I pray for her husband. You'll save him. And the whole family circle, save them in Jesus' precious name. Ask just specially for the backslider tonight. Lord, for those that maybe quit coming and for those that used to come and many of them's going nowhere, but I pray, Lord, the Holy Ghost will move in them and speak to them and draw them and bring them again. I pray you'll take a dealing with them. For you're married to the backslider. Restore them to yourself and move upon them, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, speak to us for a time from your word tonight. And Father, we pray again for those in authority for wisdom and guidance. And for your own people, Israel, that you'll bless and strengthen them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Here's Adam. Adam, the first, the head of the old creation. And he's placed on trial in the Garden of Eden. Adam was. The entire world was actually represented in Adam. And every one of us are descendants from Adam. Look what the scripture says here as the Spirit of God speaks of Levi. And this is just a scripture to let us know that we're in him generations back, even before we're born. Hebrews 7 and 10, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So even before we're born, generations back, God knows everyone. The blessings coming, predestination set in place. And we're all descendants from the first Adam. So we know every single one of us was represented there in Adam when the old creation was on trial. And we know that Adam failed. And God said in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17. Let's look at this. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of the tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now we know as a result that of that failure, the old creation fell down in death. It went down. Now I'm going to be talking tonight about man going down, and then I'm going to be talking about going up. I want you to get that. Praise God. And every person that's ever been born in the world since that time was born down there. We were born in sin, we were shaped in iniquity. No one has been born up here, but born down. Amen. Because we're in Adam. We're in Adam the first. It all started in Adam. That's how it came about. Except the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't born down. And his birth was a supernatural one. But apart from Christ, every single one of us were born down. We were already condemned before we could start it. Because the mark of sin was on us because of one man. Therefore, as the members of the old creation were dead, all lost, every one of us, dead in sin and trespasses, as Psalm 51, verse 5 tells us. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. See, we were shapen in sin, and sin did my mother conceive me, Romans 5 and 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Now, we know we talk about the woman a lot, but the Bible doesn't say it entered by the woman. It says it entered by one man. Entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, it's talking about the man because we are represented in the man. Amen. The first Adam. But now let's look what happened. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. The written word here speaks of himself as the living word. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So the first man brought us into sin, and that sin passed upon all, from that old creation, right on through. And then there was another one came, the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood in this plane of sinlessness, Christ did. Adam was created sinless, but he fell. Adam had no sin when God made him. No sin at all, but he fell. Jesus came, the sinless one, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin, made of a woman. And that's something. The Holy Spirit was his Father. That's why God and the Holy Spirit's the same one. That's why you can't have God as one person and the Holy Spirit as another person, because that will be two different persons. And what do you do then with the Lord Jesus? You only can have one Father, not two. And we know that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Amen. Matthew 1 verse 20 to 21 tells us, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. This is Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary the wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from the sin. He was virgin born. You know, a lot of people today don't even believe that Jesus Christ was virgin born, but Jesus Christ was virgin born. Absolutely. And Mary was never with a man. But she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. She conceived by the Holy Spirit. And it was a supernatural act. God done it. And Jesus Christ was born sinless. And he remained sinless. Amen. He saw man down in the deep, death, down in the death. And at the cross, he went down into death. Christ went down into death at the cross. Down to where man was, to death. And he came up in the grace from the death. Up out of the grave he rose. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. He broke the bars asunder and he rose triumphant over the foe. But he did not come up alone. Hear me this evening. He never come up alone. This second Adam never come up alone. The one man went down, and the one man that went down at the start could never bring me and you back up. There had to come another one that could take us from the bottom and bring us up. Amen. And the first Adam couldn't do that. But there had to come another Adam. And the other Adam did not come from the earth, but he come from heaven. Amen. For the Bible says the Lord from heaven. And the Bible says if we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And this Lord from heaven, he come from above, that he can lift us above. For we were down, and we needed lifted up. He saw man down in the death. And the cross, he went down in the death, down to where man was. And he come up, but he didn't come up alone. Ephesians 2 and 4 and 5 says this. But God is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace he is saved. We are quickened together with Christ. Amen. We're not quickened with the first Adam. He couldn't do it. But we're quickened with Christ, this man that come from heaven. So that all who believe in him are brought up from that place of death. And us at once, one time, were made partakers of Adam's race. So now we made partakers of a new creation. You know, we were made partakers of Adam's race because we're from Adam. But when we're born again, we're made partakers of someone greater. Because we're a new creation. And we're a greater race. Amen. Someone greater. Made partakers of a new creation. What does God do now? Does he put us where Adam was before and say, now, behave yourselves and you won't die again? Is that what God does? Some people think that. They're living in works. They're doing good. Some people think they're going to heaven. They'll tell you, I've never done no harm in my life. Well, I'll tell you, that's no bow to your crown. I can tell you that. For the biggest deceptor, liar, and killer could repent and go to heaven, and that person that has done no good, good shoes. I'll tell you, straight to hell. But I'll tell you what, God doesn't say if you behave yourself, you'll not die again. God doesn't say that. No, he puts us up higher than Adam could ever have gone. Except for the divine creation. And we have come up higher because of the divine creation. And there's a divine one that came for us. Ephesians 2 and verse 6 says, and have raised us up together and made us sit together where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the Lord Jesus Christ has raised us up together with himself and made us sit together in heavenly places. So we're no more down, but we're up. The first Adam had us down, but this second Adam brings us up because he's from above. He's from above. But even though he's from above, I want you to know that he took a massive stoop. He took a massive stoop. There never was another man took the stoop that Jesus Christ took. A massive stoop. A stoop that brought him from the ramparts of glory into this sin-cursed world. And he came right down to the lowest of the lowest, right into the pit itself. And then he rose up on high and he gave gifts to man. And he said, we're seated in heavenly places. Because we belong to this new creation, we can never be lost. Hear me tonight. You were lost, because the head of the old creation failed and you went down with him. You can never be lost unless the head of this new creation fails. And if he does, you will go down with him. But I want to tell you this evening that the head of this new creation cannot fail. There's the old creation that fell. There's a new creation. For the Bible says we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. But thank God, he remains on the throne where God himself has put him, in token of his perfect satisfaction in the work that he's accomplished. And I tell you, you see, all them Old Testaments were in part. God was never fully satisfied. The only thing that fully satisfied God was the supreme sacrifice of all ages, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells you it appeased God. That means God was fully satisfied, and that was enough. Thank God for it tonight. Now, I want to tell you a wee story about a man. This man was having doubts. One time, he was converted. He was saved. But he was saved, dreadful fears come upon him. Fears that someday he might commit some great sin and lose his soul, even though he was saved. That he might be lost after all someday. And he trembled at the thought. He went to the meeting and he heard the words read from Colossians 3, verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And he shouted, glory to God. Hallelujah. Whosoever heard of a man drowning with his head above the water? Not a one. And how could you be lost tonight when your head is up? He's not down. The first Adam is down, but Jesus Christ is up. He's not down. And you're up. And you're in heavenly places with him. And your head is up. And you're up. And a man can't drown in water if his head's above the water. And I want you to know tonight that you're above death, because you're in Christ. And that's our head. And his head is above death. And he's going to abolish death, as we heard this morning. We're linked with him. We belong to the new creation. And that is why we shall never be lost. Eternal life is possessed right now. We hope for the coming of the Lord. There's things hoped for. The Bible talks a lot about hope, but it doesn't talk about hoping for eternal life. We have eternal security because every true believer is a possessor of eternal life. And the reason you have eternal security is because you have eternal life. It's like the Father says, it does what it says in the tent. Eternal life. It is not as we are faithful to the end, we receive eternal life. It doesn't say that. Now, there's a lot of things it talks about being faithful to the end and hoping. And I know that we hope, but not for eternal life. But now we're Christians. Now we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing on him, I have eternal life. But I have it in a dying body. Yes. We have dying bodies here tonight, but yet in our dying bodies, we have eternal life. I'm now waiting for the redemption of the body to wit. And when the Lord Jesus comes a second time, he shall change this body of my humiliation and make it like his own body of his glory. Look at me with Romans 8, 23 to 24. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we, ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? There's hope, but eternal life's not a hope. We have it. Amen. But there's things we do hope for. pains. This whole earth is in birth pains tonight. And this war is part of the birth pains going on. I tell you, someone, you see, Russia might have been in a position to do a whole lot of things. But a wee army in Ukraine, well, they underestimated it. It's took a sting out of Russia at the minute, hasn't it? It's definitely done it. It's took a sting out of her. They didn't walk in and rule over them just as fast as they thought they would. But that's all God's doing, I'll tell you that now. Because you know Russia is a force. And I tell you, everything's happening, but the world's in birth pains, all these things. Jesus told us there'll be wars, rumors of wars. Still, the end's not yet. We're certainly waiting on that body change. We're not hoping for eternal life, but over and over again, Scripture tells us that the believers at present in possession of eternal life. Do you believe that tonight? And I'm not going to keep you long tonight. I'll be finished in 5 minutes. John 3, verse 14, 15. Follow with me. John 3. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear preachers preaching today. Now we believe in Acts 2:38. We believe that in this fellowship. But we do not believe that water saves you. And you can baptize somebody in Acts 2:38. And you can do all that. But if that person themselves has never asked Jesus into their heart, they're still lost. And that's it. Put them in the water and say the Lord's name over them won't save them. They have to be saved first. And they're saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The water's an act of obedience. That's what it is. But I've heard people preaching, if you're not baptized in water, you're lost. And they preach that the power's in the water, but there's no power in the water. I'll tell you where the power is, and don't you ever forget it. The power is in the blood of Jesus Christ. For it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses me and you from all sin. The power's not in the water. We believe in the water. But I'll tell you, it's not first. Christ is first. Believing. You're saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not just saved. You have eternal life. Look at it. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Adam's life was forfeitable life. He lost his life because of sin. Eternal life is non-forfeitable life. Hear me. Non-forfeitable life. Otherwise it could not be eternal. But there's something tonight we're working with that can't be forfeited. It is eternal life. Eternal life cannot end. John 3 and 16. The gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent his Son into the world to die on the cross, and he was raised again the third day. And when we believe in him, we have everlasting life. How do you get saved? Ephesians says that we're saved by grace through God. For by grace through faith are you saved. Romans said, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we shall be saved. Romans 10 and 9. Everlasting life is life that lasts forever. And we have it now. Now you say, Brother Tom, why would you take and preach that? Because you would be surprised at how many Christians doubt their salvation. And you'd be surprised at how many Christians have been taught false doctrine. You know, there's so many ministers and so many preachers believe you can be saved and lost. I know a man, I won't mention his name, he passed away recently. Great Pentecostal preacher in America. Well known for singing, so that'll give you a clue without me saying the name. Great man, used to God, he fell. At one time he repented and he kept on going. Now he's wrote loads of books. You look it up. He's wrote loads of books. And there's a King James Bible he's out, and there's nothing wrong with them things. But he believed you could be saved and lost, and you'd have to get saved again. Now, bless your heart, how could the Lord lost suffer what he had saved? Now, me and you could lost suffer, sure enough. We're human, but we're not working with an ordinary man here. We're working with the Lord of all glory, the second Adam, the Lord from heaven. And the Lord from heaven says when you receive him, you receive eternal life, end off. He doesn't give you a program that'll keep your salvation. It is him that keeps you. Look at John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. How do you get it? By believing on the Son. How do I believe? An old brother and friend of mine, and I haven't got to see him for a while, but he says, how do you believe? He says, you just believe. You just believe. You don't try to believe, you just believe. He that believeth on the Son of everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So we're saved by believing on the Son of God. That's simple. Now, I know you know these things, but I'm preaching them anyhow. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that's my last verse, and I'm closing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The first Adam brought us down into death. The second Adam lifts us up into heavenly places. We bear the image of the earthly, but we shall bear the image of the heavenly. I want to tell you tonight, the Lord's coming for his people. He's coming for his people. He's coming again. And God's moving. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Praise God. Isn't it great when somebody gets saved? You know, there's the big fella, Jeff McGill. I'm sure most people know him. Tucker's his nickname. Al McGill. Sorry, Jeff's his brother. Sorry. Al McGill. His nickname's Tucker. But I'll tell you what. I know Al a long time. But Al sent me a message a while back. I told you about a man sent me a message, but I didn't tell you who. But that's who it was. And he told me how that he had a real experience with God. And he's full of hatred. Hatred for different things. And I'll tell you what, the Lord took it out of him. Now he's out in the streets preaching. Out in the streets. And her great Protestant neighbours, some of them wanted to get him stopped. But they're all right with the flute bands. They're happy enough with them, but they don't want to hear the gospel. Now, I'll tell you, that's not real Protestantism. Let's get to the bottom of it. Real Protestantism is a protesting against Rome because you're born again. And half of what claims to be Protestant today is not Protestant. For our Protestants are protestant. And I'm glad I'm a protestant. Amen. And thank God we protest what's wrong. Praise God. God bless you tonight. Pray for Big Al. The Lord will keep him. He's not long saved. Maybe he could have been saved as a young fella. You know, maybe really the Lord restored him. But anyhow, keep him in your prayers as well. And keep me in your prayers. And Sharon, she is feeling a lot better, but keep praying for her. It's a nasty old thing, food poisoning. And I tell you, you know, I'll tell you this story, and then I'm going to close. Just give me a moment. You know where the Bible says you can pray over it and you eat anything you want? How many knows it talks like that? Right, well, I was in Africa, in Zimbabwe, and there's 30 fellas and a group of them, and they went with a pastor and a couple of ministers. And there's these two particular boys, and they boasted. They started boasting from that verse. And they went to this place, village, or somewhere, wherever they went. It was in our country, some foreign country, some African country. And they said they could eat anything. Don't you worry about it, we'll eat it. So they gave them lizards. Well, they did not want to eat them. But they couldn't say, we're not eating them. Because they talked that much and quoted that scripture. And the two boys, they ate it. But they were sick. They had to get prayed for. Because they were sick. So you see, there's some cases that you had to be careful. Some stands you take. Because it could backfire. But the pastor was telling me all this, Kelvin. And I asked him, and he says, brother, I know the Bible says you eat whatever you pray over. But he says, I'm not eating no lizard. And they tell him he's a bit soft, you know. But he wasn't eating it. He wasn't sick. He preached all the meetings. But them boys ate it and they were sick. But thank God. God's good, isn't he? It's like Wigglesworth was asked to pray for the pig in the spit. They had a big do at a big meetings. And he says, Lord, if you could curse, bless the thing you curse, go ahead. That's how he prayed. And he upset all the dignitaries the way he prayed. But he would never eat pig. Wigglesworth would not eat pig. And the Jews, there's certain things the Jews won't eat. I don't even know why I'm talking about food, but anyhow. God bless you tonight. Let's close our eyes this evening. Maybe you know somebody's here and that God spoke to you and you might not know. Think. Well, there's not many of us here. We know everybody. But I want to say this, and I want to say this for if anybody listens to this wee message tonight. If you're not saved, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on his name and you'll be saved. Right there and then. You're saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't worry about keeping it. It's him that'll keep you. And he says he'll present you faultless before the Father. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, I pray you bless the hands that's raised in this house. For anyone that would listen in and are not saved. Lord, I pray you bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, we thank you that when we receive you, Lord Jesus, we have eternal life and will never perish. And we're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, we know we might be groaning and travailing for the redemption to wit. And we know we're going to have a body change. But we thank you we're saved. And we thank you tonight you're coming again. And we do pray even so, come Lord Jesus. For those that are sick and afflicted tonight, will you touch them? Will you heal them? Pray especially for that family that Stephen Johnson had posted. Bereavement, Lord, I don't know the people, but I pray for them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for strength, for comfort, that you'll be with them tonight. And just help them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll be back Thursday. The Lord willing at 7:30. God bless you, sir. Brother Gary comes.
Amen. Let's sing the hymn with harps and with vials. The stones will be a throw. You know, I remember one time working with a Christian man. And we're talking this time and about if something was set down before you, would you eat it? And he was saying, you know, he always ate whatever was set down before him, whether he liked it or not. And if he didn't, wouldn't eat it at home rather than cause offence if it was set down before him. The Bible says to eat it. He wasn't a Pentecostal or nothing like that. And I used to think to myself, Well, I'm supposed to be a better Christian than him. And I couldn't do that. If somebody sent me down a sandwich with butter on it, I couldn't eat it. I've had to refuse many a sandwich. You go into places sometimes, it's embarrassing. If you have things made up, you have maybe asked and just make your stuff up and they put butter on it. And butter would make me heave. I would be sick eating butter. I couldn't eat butter in hell. I thought of Brother Job when he went to Singapore, was it? How he ate what he ate, I do not know. But a credit to him. I don't know how he done it, but he done it anyway. And he done more than what I could do. But let us sing this hymn, praise God. I trust Sharon's feeling a lot better, praise God. With harps and with vials, there's standing great throne. What care we in all of it? Amen.